trees, and remember what Big Sam smells like? That's what it smells like around there. And it's kind of a dry area. They love to eat lizards and snakes.
And they don't eat gum.
Joys and sorrows.
I had the nice thing happen to me recently. The air management program at the DNR, which I had worked in for 4 years, had a statewide meeting about 150 or 200 people up in Stevens Point the week before last. And I had volunteered to be a backup singer in a rock band. And I was pleased because not only did I not screw up my parts of songs, but I decided I really liked standing up and singing. Was, and this was a real surprise, they did some what they call peer awards where people who was nominated by the supervisor was nominated by your coworkers, and I was very pleased and surprised I got a plaque for it was a continuous quality in the production of public information and education materials.
It wasn't until I actually came here and thought about this intergenerational service that I realized what a great joy, an intergenerational joy I personally have, because it's been 8 years now that I've had a little brother, and when I chose him, he was to be expelled from elementary school for violence, and he's quite a good student now. He's an 11th grader. He's high. And Big Brother wanted to give me a plaque for being with him for 8 years and asked if I would accept it. I said yes, but Tony must have an identical plaque because he has tolerated me. And I've been told that can be rather difficult. But I do think, actually, in a very simplistic way, that you said if it was a goal and is a goal of mine as Big Brother, I think it should be an intergenerational goal of career. To have a good time so that the younger generation understands the older and the older better understands the younger.
Her middle daughter is a classmate of Katie's, and so it's been a pretty rough week.
I was going to say, it's a joy for us that he ran all the way to school yesterday, and I'm not sure what the motivation was.
That was away from home, wasn't it?
Bob? question on the list.
How about choosing your best one?
No, sorry. On the 12th, I was appointed general manager of John Lee Dry Cleaning Company. This next Friday, I close on my condo, and I have naps for people who want to help me move on the morning. 9 o'clock, you can arrive, and if there's enough of us, then we'll be ready to eat pizza by noon. If not, I've got the truck from 9 to 3. And as new program committee chair, our first meeting will be Tuesday, 7 o'clock, the first Tuesday of June, June 6th.
And that'll be here?
That will be here.
Okay.
Which we have to work on.
Yeah. Jack.
I thought my wife was going to say something, but we got a problem with yours.
Well, going by the order of hands, got
it. Make the most of it.
We had a little bit of a joy yesterday because I'm one of many, many, many who graduated with our granddaughter Jessica. What makes a little bit different was that her mother, our daughter Nancy, graduated here, and her grandmother, Betty, graduated here, and her great grandmother all graduated here.
She graduated in journalism and communications, and she's looking for a job producing television programs or whatever. I don't think anybody knows of
it. I couldn't be here last week for the RE picnic and all because I was in Ohio at my nephew's bar mitzvah. Quite an exciting celebration. It's quite different than me hearing coming to the church. I had a great time. I brought something for show and tell. Well, they gave us out to the kids, but I deserved the one. I mean, one for myself. The most exciting part for me was dancing with my mother and girls after we had a great time. I also see that if there's any urgent announcements, I can still have. I still need 2 people for the morning shift at the shelter. This coming Tuesday, I'm going to pass this around. And I can't do it this time because I have to June. Also, this is a Prairie Fire deadline today. And actually, it's the last one for several weeks. So if you have stuff all the way through June, you can turn it in today. There's a folder in that office there.
When is
it? This
one?
No, it'll come out. It'll come out later this week.
Or maybe before the weekend shift? Yeah.
It should come, you should get it by Friday, if you've been getting
it. I look forward to a joy as we're doing on the Mekong River next weekend. And if you wish to share my joy, do so with me.
Are there maps available?
There will be maps in the Prairie Fire, which should be out soon.
Yeah, but it doesn't always get there. I got my last one. They don't always arrive.
Santa Claus?
Wow. My joy is that I'm going to be on vacation for the next week and I'm going to rest. And I've waited a long time for this one. I also have a joy in that I have a canoe I'm not going to take with me. And it's up for loan, but the key thing there is you have to come and get it today. Because I have a key here for the rest of the week to loan it out.
So if you're going on a canoe trip, see Dick immediately afterwards.
If the children would like to come to the front, we're going to have a story. But you know, it doesn't always have to be just little people that come to the front. If you want to see the pictures better, big people are welcome to come to the front and see the pictures too. Nora, you want to come up here? Nora's going to read the story. This is a book that I discovered a few years ago. And I did read it once a few years ago at Prairie, but I thought it bears repeating because it's really a nice story. And because I remember when I was growing up Catholic, we had the same stories every Sunday for every year. The same Sunday of the year, every year we had the same story, the same parables, and that's how you remember them. And this one's worth remembering, so we're going to maybe have it every year. I don't know.
Would you like me?
A mother held her new baby and very slowly rocked back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she held him, she said, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. The baby grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was 2 years old. He ran all around the house. He pulled all the books off the shelves. He pulled all the food out of the refrigerator. And he took his mother's watch and flushed it down the toilet. Sometimes his mother would say, this kid is driving me crazy. And there's the kid in the bathroom. But at nighttime, when the two-year-old was quiet, she opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, looked on the open side of his bed, and if he was really asleep, she picked him up and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. While she rocked him, she said, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. The little boy grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was 9 years old, and he never wanted to come in for dinner. He never wanted to take a bath. But when grandmother did it, he always said bad words. Sometimes his mother wanted to stop it too. Where is the bathroom? I'm talking about all this. Where's the cat? But at nighttime, when he was asleep, the mother quietly opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, and looked up over the side of the bed. If he was really asleep, she picked up that nine-year-old boy and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked him, she'd say, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. The boy grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was a teenager. He had strange friends and he wore strange clothes and he listened to strange music. Sometimes his mother felt like she was in the music. But at nighttime, when that teenager was asleep, the mother opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, and looked up over the side of the bed. If he was really asleep, she picked up that great big boy and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. While she rocked him, she said, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be. That teenager grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was a grown-up man. He left home and had a house across town. But sometimes, on a dark night, the mother got into her car and drove to the house. She did all the lights in her son's house around. She opened his bedroom window, crawled across the floor, and looked up over the side of his bed. If that great big man was really asleep, she picked him up and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked him, she said, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be. Well, that mother, she got older. She got older and older and older. One day she called up her son and said, you better come see me because I'm very old and sick. So her son came to see her. When he came in the door, she tried to sing the song. She said, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. But she couldn't finish because she was too old and sick. The son went to his mother. He picked her up and walked her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And he sang this song.
I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my mommy will be.
When the son came home that night, he stood for a long time at the top of the stairs. Then he went into the room where his very new baby daughter was sleeping. He picked her up in his arms and very slowly rocked her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while he rocked her, he said, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby will be.
Now, it's interesting, when you're listening to that story, who do you visualize? Are you the little boy, or are you the mommy, or are you the... I'm sorry, Shannon, I tried the first time I heard it too. It's very sentimental. We have to suspend reality a little. The first time I discovered it, my son was just off to college, and he said, Mom, you're not going to come to the dorm, are you? We don't have a lot. We have our single tree at Christmas time and a few other minor things, but one ritual we've done for many years is presenting chalices to our eighth graders. And Anne, our outgoing director of religious education, would like to do that.
Yes. As Aaron said, this is a tradition, and what I'm going to do, I feel like I've never done a good job, but I'm going to read from the Union Kids book the whole, the history of the flaming chalice and what it symbolizes and why we use it at all. Okay, so, did you know that the flaming chalice is a symbol for our Unitarian Universalist religion? The UU symbol was designed during World War II by a refugee, a man who had to flee from his home in Austria to escape the Nazis. His name was Hans Deutsch. In Austria, he had been an artist and a musician, but he had to leave everything behind when he fled for his life to France. Then, the Nazis also invaded France. Again, he escaped, this time to safety in Portugal. In Portugal, he and hundreds of other homeless war refugees were given food, medicine, and clothing by the Unitarian Service Committee. It had been started by a group of Unitarians in the United States who said, our religion teaches us to care when other people suffer and to work to stop cruelty and unfairness. So let's not just talk about the refugees, let's do something for them. And let's give them help, and let's give the help to anyone who needs it, no matter what country they come from or what their religion or race may be. Hans Deutsch was so grateful to the Unitarian Service Committee that he stayed on to work with them. And they had a problem. They needed some kind of symbol that would stand for the Unitarian Service Committee, a symbol that they could put on their buildings, their trucks, and the crates of supplies. Then people who did not know English would instantly recognize the symbol and know where to get help. Hans Deutsch designed a flaming chalice symbol. A chalice is a special goblet, a symbol of wisdom to ancient Greeks. To UUs, the flame stands for the warmth of love. It also stands for the light of truth and the freedom for each of us to search for what is true and right in life. In time, the Unitarian Service Committee became the UUSC, the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee, and it is still helping people, not just war refugees, but people all over the world. And today, most UUs use the flaming chalice as their symbol. And following our individualist style, there are multiple designs of the flaming chalice. Apparently, each society has their own. The Canadian UUs combine maple leaf with their flaming chalice, and the one that we give to our graduating eighth graders is this. I know you guys can't see it, but visit them later so that you can see it. So, just as we, just as that mom is always there for that growing person, this, in our prairie tradition, symbolizes that we will always be there with you. You've gone through various lengths of time here at Prairie. and you are totally welcome to stay. And if you don't, you know that we'll always be partly with you through your time and experiences here and in the symbol of this child. So, Andrea? I hope this will slip over your head or not.
If this were only cleared away, they said it would be grand. and seven maids with seven hops stuffed it for half a year. Do you suppose, the walrus said, that they could get it clear? I doubt it, said the carpenter, and shed a bitter tear. Oh, oysters, come and walk with us, the walrus did beseech. A pleasant walk, a pleasant talk along the briny beach. We cannot do with more than four to give a hand to each. The eldest oyster looked at him, but never a word he said. The eldest oyster winked his eye and shook his heavy head, meaning to say he did not choose to leave the oyster bed. But four young oysters hurried up, all eager for the treat. Their coats were brushed, their faces washed, their shoes were clean and neat. And this was odd, because, you know, they hadn't any feet. Four other oysters followed them, and yet another four, and thick and fast they came at last, and more and more and more, all hopping through the frothy waves and scrambling to the shore. The walrus and the carpenter walked on a mile or so, and then they rested on a rock conveniently low, and all the little oysters stood and waited in a row. The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax, and of cabbages and cakes, and why the sea is boiling hot and whether pigs have wings. But wait a bit, the oysters cried, before we have our chat. For some of us are out of breath and all of us are fat. No worries, said the carpenter, they thank you much for that. A loaf of bread, the walrus said, is what we chiefly need. Pepper and vinegar besides are very good indeed. Now if you're ready, oysters dear, we can begin to feed. But not on us, the oysters cried, turning a little blue. Such a kindness, that would be a dismal thing to do. The night is fine, the walrus said, do you admire the view? It was so kind of you to come, and you are very nice, the carpenter said nothing but cut us another slice. I wish you were not quite so deaf, I've had to ask you twice. It seems a shame, the walrus said, to play them such a trick, after we brought them out so far and made them trot so quick. The carpenter said nothing but the butter is spread too thick. I weep for you, the walrus said, I deeply sympathize, with sobs and tears he sorted out those of the largest size, holding his pocket handkerchief before his streaming eyes. Oh, oysters, said the carpenter, you've had a pleasant run. Shall we be trotting home again? But answer came there none, and this was scarcely odd, because they'd eaten every one.
Do you want to tell us why you chose that?
I just like it.
Okay. Emily, are you going to leave your hand?
I'm going to just go watch the trailer set up for memories. If I don't get every word you want to do.
But I like the poem because it symbolizes something that's very important to me. And it's called Dreams. We're fast to dreams where if dreams go, like in the barren field frozen with snow. We're fast to dreams where if dreams die, like with a broken winged bird that cannot fly.
Aaron.
As an infant, which
person helped demonstrate how babies are carried by dancing African women wrapped in the folds of a mother's dress, which can only happen in prairie, right?
Hang out.
Where? Obviously not a sleepover.
Well, most of us are on the same team, so we play a lot of soccer together. And then we play soccer, pick up games even when you're not on the team. Or,
well, the last time we asked school, I was here in there before people started running carrying them. And it was really strange because I didn't know.
You didn't know what each of you were closeted in. What about you, Andrea? Andrea, this was tough on Andrea since she's only been with us a short while, but from the fall, do you have any memories from the fall?
Really? Did you go on the woods?
No.
Did you go to
no.
One thing I really noticed was that spring fling people, we feel we're doing with the frogs and ate some sandwiches.
Okay, I'm surprised now there are other of you said an uppermost memory. I would have thought that would be very good. No. They haven't done it ever. How many good have uppermost?
First place?
Yeah. How about, do any of you have a favorite teacher? Or if you don't, why not? What don't you like about teachers? Or what do you like about your favorite teacher?
I like my history teacher pretty much. He jokes around us. He just doesn't tell us that. He acts like you're...
It is unusual. What's his name?
Mr.
Burke. Well, I have to remember that. Mr. Burke. Ask what you're doing.
I like my algebra teacher for the same reason. He just will joke around the lesson. You know, we go to his lunchroom every now and then. He'll give us food. He has all these exciting jokes with us. But that was my science teacher. I think there's some teachers this year. Nice.
Well, name on that. Who's the algebra teacher?
He's Mr. Mickelson. My science teacher is Mr. Norbert.
My band teacher is probably
my favorite teacher.
Did you hear that?
No.
No.
Speak up.
My band teacher is probably my favorite teacher. And, I don't know, he, talks to you and gets to know you better and doesn't just, treat you like you're just some kid in your class. You know? Pay attention to tell us what you do and you joke around with everybody.
What's his name?
Mr. O.
Mr.
I.
Mr. O, you call him?
Yeah.
And what's his real name?
Addison.
Addison? What's that to you? I don't know if we'll let you get away with band. I already tell my kids, you know, band doesn't count the grade, you know, doesn't factor in. I don't allow them to get away with that. But it's just fun, you know. Well, what about your subject teachers? All those are kind of... What don't you like about them?
Well, some of them, like my history teacher, I like. But my science teacher is really boring. And, I don't know, he just sits there and like, talks and doesn't make it interesting. Make it fun.
Well, my English teacher is sort of weird. she's the one who goes to the West and she cancels a lot. She throws out Jolly Ranchers to people that get like questions right after this.
So you don't really think that this is not with the Witch of the West and not somebody that you call her, she thinks she's playing that role. Because she's got a good cackle.
Yeah.
What's your name?
This is Sager.
Oh, she's
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Do you find a basic difference between men and women teachers?
I have really two women teachers that I have right now, my Spanish teacher and my English teacher. And both of them, I don't like. My Spanish teacher, she's just, she's too cheerful. Years, she really gets on your nerves.
question. What worries you?
Going to high school?
Yeah. No, just what worries you about the world? What, globally, or individually, or high school, anything? What do you, if you sit, if you're feeling worried, what is it that you're feeling worried about? Oh, we have the Peter Pan syndrome. Growing up, why is
that? What you want to do?
Oh, I see. Okay,
I need to write down the worry.
Thank you.
next time. Any advice? How things could change for the better? I guess we're perfect. I want to say that when Anne was giving the flaming chalices and you were reading your story, I heard two stories this week that I thought were very nice. My son, my child came in and said, Casey Stenham, who was Barbara Park's daughter, who was down in the Chicago area, they got together and had dinner. And I made some reference to the Prairie Kids. He says, oh, I'm a PK. I didn't have to be a preacher's kid. But I also heard that Rosemary was telling me that Carolyn Brinson
and Ellen
Shalda,
Klein,
who were there, they got together out in Portland. And so I keep hearing these stories about children who've grown up at Prairie meeting elsewhere and getting together because of the kind of bonds they've formed here.
And they're not necessarily people who kept in touch in between, but they can sort of ad hoc it and suddenly fall into that familiarity. I think that goes to the community that you're talking about. It's just a kind of shared past like that.
I'd like to suggest that you also, as long as possible, deciding what kind of work you want to get into, so that you really know what you really like and were really good at, and expose yourself to the most things possible.
I'm enjoying the irony this morning of the fact that eighth grade is probably the low point of your life of when you want to sit in front of a group of adults.
Yeah.
I mean, first grade they can do it, 12th grade they can do it, 8th is sort of pinnacle of what it's.
But they're doing it.
I think the Prairie has been a place where, in that cozy little room with the sofas downstairs, they can be able to discuss things that they're obviously not going to bring up in front of us today. And so I wanted to ask on behalf of them, for everyone who's been a teacher of these kids over the 8 years or more that they've been in RE, or in the RE director, to stand up so that we as parents can thank you for what you've done.
From your youth, or if you remember to bring a picture of yourself at this age, would like to describe it and pin it on the board back there so we can all laugh later. Go ahead, Mary.
I wanted to say two things. One is, when I was that age, I was killed to be able to play sports of any kind. And I didn't think I could be on a boys team. And I suppose it wouldn't have been any girls teams.
There weren't any teams whatsoever,
so I'm really glad I'm here that Andrew is on the football team and can say it. Secondly, just something someone just said about a difference between my religious training and yours is that in Prairie, kids from age 2 on are up in front of us saying things, and they learn how to do that in front of a crowd in my church.
Just to follow up on that, I just wanted to ask Andrea, are you the only girl on the football team?
Holy. Every age group, every team.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. It's amazing.
Have you ever been in a play called Time Out for Ginger? If you haven't, who? It was written back in the 1950s and performed, and it was about a girl who joined the football team and how her family and friends reacted. You know, it was corny, and you'll think it's very corny for the time that it was, but I think we can find things to do with that. Very easy to read.
Anyone else want to share?
I'll tell you one. When I was in West High, I wanted to take manual training because my father was a manual training teacher, and I thought I could learn to be more like a boy and he'd like me better. The principal wouldn't let me take manual training because the high school mothers wouldn't want a girl in the room. boys' class?
That was a shop.
It was a shop, but that was
the thing you knew.
We're homeworking.
Andrea, honestly.
Okay, you might think I'm fast. It's an 11th period. I was the only girl in the first quarter, and there's three girls this semester, and I think that's really bad.
It's quite a lot.
Really enjoyable. It's open to girls. They have no attitude that only boys can do it, and yet only boys can have. We've had like eight girls the whole year.
In some of the middle schools, though, the girls have to take it.
In high school, there's a rotation. Yeah. Everybody has to take home ec car and check in. And then in eighth grade, if you don't take band, then I think you have to take check in, and it's still the same rotation. So girls, if they don't take band, then they have to take check in and art and home ec.
My kids are in the grade and all boys, but at home it's all in the street. When they had sewing in school, about the same age as you guys now, the girls were allowed in the schooling, but the boys didn't do the football curls. Oh, yeah, right. And they're getting better.
Did anybody bring a picture? No one remembered to bring a picture.
Over the belly.
Did you bring a picture?
But do you get diplomas? We got diplomas in eighth grade, and we had a graduation thing. Okay. Not capping down, but we had ranges and everyone stuff.
When I had the first formal dance, when I graduated from eighth grade, we had a formal graduation with caps and gowns, and you marched down two by two, and it was a great big conspiracy about who you got to march.
Yes.
If you were a girl, then a boy had to ask. And there's this roundabout thing, which is very typical, I think, the way boys and girls interacted in those days. But we didn't have to change. It doesn't.
It kind of just goes either way. The guys are like, okay, you tell Karen to tell Kathy. I'll ask her, but you have to make sure that Kathy tells Karen it's okay.
But the other thing I want to share is that year, several of the boys got their ear pierced. And it was a big hoopla that they wouldn't want to be in graduation if they wore their earrings. So if you think wearing earrings is new, this was in 1954.
Well, I went rummaging through my pictures, and before I get into the picture, I want to say that on my eighth grade graduation, I got exactly what I wanted for my eighth grade graduation. I think this might be a typical gift for prairie kids, too. I got a canary and a birdcage. We didn't have a little house. I think I had a dog, but I really wanted a bird, and that's exactly what I got. Great graduation. I have gone through a zillion hairstyles over the years, and I finally decided I wanted to be the me I wanted to be. I'm wearing my hair the way I want to wear it, and there I am in eighth grade with my hair the same way it is right now. No permanent waves, no nothing.
The way I want it.
And if you want to not put a hole in it, you can put a sticky note on it. Anyone else bring a picture?
No, yeah, there's some back there.
There's some ball of common grain, people.
Well,
it's my area. Okay, well, we like Terry, you can go now, class.
Prairie, and we'll stick to that. And
At Prairie, one of our other things we'd like is for our guests to introduce themselves if they would. Do we have any guests today? Well, and I'd like to welcome back KK Anderson. Good friend of Prairie.
We are running late, and we're going to have a potluck. So what we want to do now is
we're going to put the chairs at the side, get ready for the potluck. But then before we actually start doing the potluck, I still want to get in concentric circles, hold hands after all the chairs are gone, in concentric circles. And, oops, I want to put and then we'll have two concentric circles, holding hands, walking around while she plays softly. And then I would like to welcome anyone that has started coming to Prairie within the last year. If you guys have to help me, I hope there are some new people. And we would just like to welcome them and have them as a community as a okay, inner circle's going to go to the right, the outer circle's going to go to the left.
I'm not sure if it's here.
We tend to be about that.
Now, I don't know.
Anyone that has started coming to Prairie, let's start with the oldest family. So they have a nice little circle in the middle. From all families, go. Okay, we're missing you. Don't be shy. Everyone else is just staying this year.